You're listening to the Women's Hope Podcast of the Masters University with Dr. Shelby Cullen and Kimberly Cummings. Join them as they bring hope and encouragement through 25 years of combined experience in biblical discipleship and counseling as ACBC counselors. Shelby and Kimberly provide biblical and practical wisdom by coming alongside women with the teaching and resources necessary to grow in the grace and the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Women's Hope Podcast. I am Kimberly, and I am here with my friend Shelby, also known as Mimi.
You're hilarious.
You are expecting your second grandbaby.
Mm-hmm. December.
December
22nd.
So a Christmas baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so fun.
It is fun.
Yeah, it's excited for you.
Thank you.
I love the look on your face when you post a picture of you holding Noah.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, I am in my happy place.
Yes. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So sometimes I call you Mimi.
Yeah. That's fine with me. I was Mimi Kitty for Halloween, Thanksgiving. What am I thinking? Yeah. And he was my little pumpkin.
It was so cute. your whole theme of having the shower for your kids.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so adorable, and just getting to have your shower for the second little pumpkin. Mm-hmm. So you'll have one of each gender.
That's right.
You'll have a baby Noah. You have a baby Noah.
I have a baby Noah and a baby May.
I love that name.
Mm-hmm.
So sweet. So sweet.
Yeah.
You have a different kind of set of priorities in a way. Your heart goes a lot towards the grandbabies. Thankfully, they're close by.
They're close by, and I think what it is as a grandparent, you know, you're not with them 24/7. So when you're with them, I don't know if it's just extra special. You don't mm-hmm. have that crazy responsibility that the parents have.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a little bit more relaxed, and it's a mm-hmm. little bit more fun. And when your kids come over, and they've had them 24/7, and they're kind of growing weary, you know, in the good doing.
Mm-hmm.
You can take that baby and just give them a break, and I know that's appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really neat, though. It's really fun. It's fun watching your kids be parents.
Yeah. It's a win-win then,
yeah.
Really, because you're getting to be with the baby.
Yeah.
But then you're ministering to your kids in a very special way.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it really
love
is.
It really is.
It was a good weekend.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, and I just love how, you know, part of what you'll be doing as these little ones grow will involve discipleship. And here we are talking about Titus 2.
Exactly.
How to encourage women to become women of God and impart the wisdom and the truth that he has given to them with the next generation.
Yeah,
so,
amen.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm.
I loved our first recording. I loved getting to do it. And I have a feeling this series is going to go just a wee bit longer.
Yeah, I think so. But we're not in a hurry.
No.
So.
No, we want to just really cherish this time.
Exactly.
So on our last episode, we left off with who is being described as the older woman, as you said, I think it was seasoned.
Yeah.
And it was from a positive perspective, right? There's
mm-hmm.
nothing bad about growing older. This is a positive thing to
yes.
grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Savior. We mentioned that the Titus 2 woman is one who, as I said, who is mature. So in her faith, she is going to be reverent
mm-hmm.
in her demeanor. Paul is speaking in Titus to the responsibility of the older women to teach and encourage the younger women in the things of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets specific. So we're going to get specific. And we're going to kind of flesh this out over the coming weeks. Now, our last episode focused on the positive qualities of the mature Titus 2 woman, but today we're going to focus on what they are not to be. So we're more on that negative side, right?
That's right.
So, Shelby, I want you to read for our listening audience Titus 2, 3 through 5, and then we'll begin to expand on the woman's speech and also her desires. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds great. So I'm going to read that passage in the ESV version.
Okay.
So it might be a little bit different than what some of y'all have, but Paul writes that the older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And so, like you said last week, we learned the positive characteristic of the older woman, which was to be reverent in behavior. And, you know, that just suggests that that's a way of life for her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one aspect of that that maybe we didn't talk about last time. But that this is a woman who is very similar to someone like Anna, right? The prophetess, who would have seen herself this way. And she was devout. She was holy. And that's really what Paul has in mind, you know, this holy character that influences every aspect of our life. And even for Anna, she was ready for the Messiah because she had been waiting and praying. And that's the way it should be for all women who profess godliness, that we should be looking expectantly, I think, for Christ's return.
Absolutely.
That's what it made me think of. And but not only that, like you said, not only are we called as Titus 2 women to be reverent in our behavior, but Paul talks about this woman being someone who doesn't engage in slander either. You know, I study in the NASB as well, and I know that the phrase that he uses there is malicious gossip.
It kind of ouch.
it brings it up a notch, I think. But the Greek word there, diabolos, so that makes you think of devil, right? But in essence, the meaning of that word is to accuse or to repudiate, you know, give false information, and to basically be a talebearer. That's who he has in mind. And he's really just trying to convey that people, and in this case, specifically older women who cannot control their tongues by speaking lies or making false accusation or spreading malicious gossip, whether it's true or untrue, for that matter, when they do that, they do the work of Satan himself. I mean, that's incredible. In other words, he's trying to say, look, you cannot be slanderous or a slanderer and serve God, right? You're serving someone else.
Sure.
And interestingly, I find that this exhortation to master the tongue is often, for some reason, directed towards women in the New Testament, Kim. one place I found in Scripture, thinking through this, was 1 Timothy 3:11, where Paul says, "Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things." And so it's interesting because we're dealing with another group of women here, and they could be young, they could be old, it doesn't say. And yet the exhortation, part of the exhortation here, is not to be a slanderer. So if we go back to our passage in Titus, it just sounds to me like, or at least an inference there, that there may have been older women in Crete that had problems with slander or tale-bearing. You know, it's kind of assumed. And it's not too unlike, I think, our society today. I think this is a common problem today. And you and I talk about this all the time. You know, as older women, you and I desire to be godly examples. We want to be super careful not to engage in this type of sin. Especially in a world that's social media driven. We have to be so careful about what we say, what we do. I mean, it's an incredible responsibility that you and I have as older women. We need to be about being above reproach in what we share. Even on this podcast, we need to be super careful because I'm very mindful, as are you. We've been around a long time. We've been in ministry a long time. We know the impact that slander can have on one another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it separates friends.
Right.
You know, it's a huge problem. Thinking of the Proverbs right now, and I'll just kind of cycle through some because it's really important that we think through this. But even Proverbs tells us things like gossip, for example, spreads disunity among the brethren in the church. That's Proverbs 6:19, and it causes a lot of strife. We know that to be true. And like I just said to you already, Proverbs 16:28 reminds us that gossip separates friends, even the closest of friends. I've certainly experienced that.
Sure.
Proverbs 25:23 even tells us that gossip can lead to anger, which does not reflect holiness in one's life. And so it's just so important that we model biblical speech in our own lives as well as on this podcast. I mean, we really want this listening audience to know that we strive with the Lord's help to be committed to what Ephesians 4:29 teaches. You know, it's important that we're not engaging in rotten speech, which I think would be a way to describe slander or malicious gossip, or even filthiness or silly talk. I mean, there are some podcasts out there that we know of that engage in this sort of coarse jesting or sarcasm or even condescending talk. And I just don't think that's very reflective of what Paul teaches in Ephesians 4:29. We're called as believers to speak words that build each other up.
Right.
We're to speak words that are the truth, but we speak them in love, that are timely, and especially bring grace to those who are listening. And that's really in keeping with what Paul continues to talk about in Ephesians 5, which is being an imitator of God, and just what is fitting for sound doctrine for that matter. This helps churches to be unified. This gives God glory at the end of the day. And I think the good news is that we have every hope when we think through this idea of being an imitator of God, because number one, you know, we are, the Holy Spirit resides within us.
Right.
And that is an incredible hope. And so as a believer, if I struggle in slander, you know, first of all, I can go to the Lord, I can ask for forgiveness, but He's the one that I can depend upon and yield to for guidance and for the power that I need just to guard my mouth, to guard my speech or my heart. Or we have great passages like Philippians 4:8, which reminds us to really, you know, you can filter that through the Word of God, and it reminds us to consider whether our words and our thoughts and our actions are of good reputation. You know, are these even honorable things that I'm speaking? Are they pure? Are they lovely? Are they even of good reputation? And of course, Proverbs 10:19, which is the one that we quote quite frequently, just talking through, or it just reminds us that the more that we talk, the more likely we're going to say something sinful. The odds are, because where there are many words, right, Kim? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing that we need to keep in mind. But the bottom line is, as women who profess godliness, we should be women who direct the conversation in a God-honoring way, using words that build up, edify, and give grace to the hearers. So, Kim, we've already discussed from verse 3 God's desire for the older woman in the Church of Jesus Christ who's claiming to be a believer. She's to be reverent in her behavior, and she's not to be a malicious gossip. But what are some other expectations that God lays out in His Word for her?
Yeah, this is so good, Shelby, because I'm thinking of a couple of things, just really not even in my notes, but I'm thinking of, you know, this is what's coming out of our mouths, right?
Right.
And you mentioned that Paul keeps bringing this up specifically to women. So he realizes that this is a concern. Well, I love that John Calvin just backed that up, because, and this hurts, I'll tell you. He said, talkativeness is a disease of the women, and it is increased by old age.
Oh, my goodness.
Man,
good wisdom.
All God's women said ouch on that one, because that just hurts. You know, that's just...
We've got to get our 30,000 words in.
I know, right? Because guys only do 10.
Right.
Right. So it's just going to happen. It's more likely to happen. So you talked about, you know, the things that are coming out of our mouths. Well, I'm going to talk about what is going in our mouths. And thankfully, because our lips are under the authority of God, it doesn't have to be, as you said, because, right, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Our lips are not the only thing that are under the authority of God. Our desires are as well. So with our lips, if we are enslaved to much wine, that shows that there is a desire that is misplaced.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, the word enslaved, because we are told as women of God not to be enslaved to much wine, that word there is doulao. Enslaved means to be controlled or held against one's will. It is to be in bondage to something. And this is the very opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, right?
Mm-hmm.
We often think of drinking wine as a pleasure or a way maybe to escape the worries or the realities of the world. That's the mindset for some. But actually, it could become a prison rather than an escape. So we need to heed the book of Titus here. And not just in the book of Titus, Jesus spoke specifically to this in Luke 21:34. And you mentioned we're to be anticipating, right, the mm-hmm. Lord's return. And this is specifically in the context of that. And Jesus warned us to be careful and to be alert. And he says in Luke 21:34, but be on your guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. There's another one women struggle with, right?
Worry.
The worries
mm-hmm.
of life. And that this day, meaning the Lord's return, will not come to you suddenly like a trap. And I just love that picture because it shows, again, when we're weighed down with these things, that instead of looking for the Lord's return, it comes upon us. And it's not the joy that comes from anticipating the Lord's return, but instead a trap. So if an older woman's cravings lead to sinful desires or even attitudes that are acted upon, they are contradicting the reverent behavior that we mentioned in our first episode and are actually doing the direct opposite oftentimes and causing harm. The purpose of not being enslaved is so that the word of God is not maligned, right? And we're going to see that at the end of our passage, that these things are all done for the glory of God, right?
That's
the
right.
The purpose is not about us, as you say, ladies. It is not about us. It is about God, and we don't want to malign him. So not only are we capable of becoming imprisoned, but our example may imprison others.
Good point.
This kind of behavior will reflect poorly on the church and our Savior. It is the exact opposite of a reverent demeanor. And ladies, I just want to encourage you. I know there's a lot out there. I know there's even like a Instagram site or, you know, something about, you know, mommy water and mommy juice and all of these things, you know. And it's really just code for mommy's got a day drink because she can't cope.
Oh, wow.
And so with the realities of parenting, this is why we exemplify Titus 2 and practice Titus 2, to give the younger women hope and that they won't misplace their hope in something that ends up enslaving them. And it really breaks my heart. And I did live in a rural environment for 13 years, and we were actually in a dry county. So as you can imagine, when I moved to Los Angeles, I was like, hello. The opportunities are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The world is clamoring for the young mother's attention. And I want to be clear. I'm not saying that it does not say in Scripture that you never take a drink. We're talking about being drunk,
mm-hmm.
right? We are talking about being filled with something that impairs our hearts to follow Christ completely. So we don't want to imprison others. Scripture is very, very clear, ladies. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says that our bodies are members of Jesus Christ himself. And it goes on to say our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. You know, the God resided, right, as you look in Scripture, in a tabernacle, and then that picture of the temple. We now have the privilege of having the Holy Spirit reside within us. And so we don't want to do anything to impede that.
Right.
And so we have been bought with a price, and we are to glorify God with our bodies. And Proverbs 21 is so good. It's such a good description telling us what it looks like when a woman is enslaved to much wine. It tells us that wine is a mocker and strong drink is a brawler. I mean, this is the idea of a fighter, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just not a pretty picture. And then it says, whoever is intoxicated is not wise. And we have there are several illustrations, but one really good illustration is in Genesis 19, starting around verse 30, that Lot's behavior was affected by alcohol. And he was enticed, actually, through his daughters, mm-hmm. who realized they were unable to continue their family line, right? Mm-hmm. And so they thought that the way to do that was through their father. And so they did that by getting him drunk, mm-hmm. and laying with him. And so it's such that is such a powerful illustration of the problems that can arise from drunkenness. Mm-hmm. And that's one biblical example. There are several others. But just keep in mind that the things that the world says that will come from alcohol really can be deceiving. And so we do need to guard our hearts. So women, we can also be enslaved to things other than wine. How about our emotions?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if John Calvin's going to hit us up on a hard one here, we may as well go not just to the speech, but the emotions, mm-hmm. right? We are known as emotional creatures. That is not a bad thing to have emotions. We don't just walk around like robots.
Right.
But who controls our emotions? Are we controlled by our emotions, or are our emotions controlled by God residing within us? And are our emotions under the authority of Scripture? Are we enslaved by the opinions of others more than the opinion of God, of who God says we are in Christ and what that looks like practically? Talk about a prison. Fear of man, right? Mm-hmm. Being enslaved to alcohol, being enslaved to our emotions, being enslaved to food. We could go on and on and on. And so we want to make sure that we are not enslaved to lustful thoughts, but rather we instead are thinking on whatever is pure. You even mentioned this earlier, Philippians 4:8, whatever's lovely, whatever's honorable, whatever's good, a good report. Women, what are we known by? Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, again, which leads to dissipation or debauchery, some versions say, but instead we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and nothing else. And we are to be slaves to Christ and His righteousness and nothing else. So Shelby, after we have talked about this, these two aspects of what we are not to be as godly women, why don't you end us on a good note here of what we are to teach?
Yes. And I like the fact that you ended with, we are to be slaves to Christ and to his righteousness. Because if you really think about it biblically, we're no longer slaves to sin. We have the freedom to do what is right. We have the freedom to be a slave of Christ. And that's, or we have the freedom to be slaves of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Where we didn't before because of Christ.
Right.
So that's a really important thing to consider. And just the idea that what we're talking about is being enslaved to something, right?
Right.
So thank you for that, Kim. I think that it's really important to think through the importance of being a slave to righteousness, that because we're not a slave to sin any longer, we have the freedom now to be able to do that. But again, it's important to point out that all believers have the capacity to be reverent in our behavior, not malicious gossips, or to be enslaved to much wine, really because of what Paul reminds us even in Titus, which we'll look at much later, but it comes out in Titus 3, 1 to 8, and I thought it would just be appropriate to read that passage. He says that to remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. So you know me, like I always say, as believers, we are a billboard for the gospel at all times. So who we profess to be ought to manifest in a walk that is worthy, something we learn in Ephesians. But going back to our passage in Titus 2:3, we find that not only is it fitting for sound doctrine for older women to have those characteristics we've been teaching about, but we're also called to teach what is good. And so we know, you and I know, because we've been exposed to this. We've been exposed to many, many teachers in our lifetime, and they do give us advice on many good things. But the idea that Paul has here is for an older, seasoned, spiritually mature woman in the church to teach what is good to the younger women. And that word that he uses in the original language is kaladaskalos. I just love that word, kaladaskalos. I like to say it. Kind of a unique word here, but it's just really referring to giving noble or excellent instruction. And in the context of this letter, really the primary goal of the Titus 2 woman would be to come alongside the younger women and would be to commit themselves to teaching really what they themselves have been taught in an effort to help the younger women grow spiritually so that, right, the word mm-hmm. of God would not be reviled. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to see as we go forward in the Titus 2 passage is that part of what of teaching what is good is training the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible and pure workers at home and submissive to their own husbands. As older women, we are called to train a generation of younger women to love and fear the Lord mm-hmm. through modeling and through the teaching of sound doctrine rather than giving out worldly advice.
It's so good.
Big responsibility. Yeah. So I'm getting the sense, Kim, that God doesn't intend for women like you and me to go into retirement in ministry, that is, you know.
So, I pray no one ever thinks they retire from ministry.
I know. Ever. Sometimes it happens, though. Sometimes they feel that it's time to retire from being involved. Not really sure why that mindset happens, but it's out there. But the older women really play such an important role in this particular discipleship ministry. So I'm really excited to just expand even more on this passage and just to give women hope. I know that we're going to get really practical. I look forward to that, and there's more to come. But first, before we close today, Kim and I are very excited to share with you an opportunity with our listening audience, an opportunity to come alongside others and encourage them in a walk of purity. Being alone on a phone or computer can easily lead to poor choices. So what can you do to encourage your family's purity in this digital age? Well, we want to introduce to you Accountable to You, a software for all of your devices that promotes openness, transparency, and integrity through comprehensive, easy-to-read reporting. So how does it work, you may ask? Well, simply install Accountable to You on your laptops, your desktops, and your mobile devices, then set an accountability partner for each device. For example, you might want to be the accountability partner for your kids while setting your devices to report to your spouse or someone in your church. Accountability partners will then receive daily or weekly reports on the device activity. The system can also send instant text alerts if anything objectionable is detected, so partners can check in immediately. Accountable to You is designed to monitor activity in the background without getting in the way or slowing things down. This really sounds like a great opportunity for our listening audience. It's a way to guard your heart. You know, it's just helpful. It's right. A helpful, practical way that we can guard our hearts and continue to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. So do you have any closing thoughts, my friend?
Well, I do. I want to remind the women one more time, because teaching what is good, I feel a part of that is recommending good resources.
Absolutely.
You know, women ask us all the time, so we like to use part of the episode just to share some things. But Shelby and I are really excited, as we announced last time, is that we have collaborated with Carmen at the Biblical Creative to make a simple journal that you can use as you spend your time in a Titus II setting. It is really
I'm excited.
Pretty. I know. I love it. It is going to be on Amazon soon. I did just check with Carmen earlier this morning, and they haven't put it out yet. But as soon as it's out on Amazon, you will know from us, and we'll share that with you on our social media sites. But you can just go to the Biblical Creative site on Amazon, and you will be able to see our lovely notebook. And it is called Titus II, the Discipleship Journal. So if you have trouble finding it, just look for Titus II, because it's real big on the front. It's really pretty. I have posted peeks of the journal on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. So just be sure to follow us there, and you'll find them. The journal has a place for a topic. It has a place for a correlated passage that you're discussing, things to write down. So we gave you a couple of pages, you know, just of room to write as you flesh out this passage that you're working with on a younger woman, through observation, interpretation, and then, of course, applying it to your, you know, to your life, right? And so it also has a place which I think is so important, is really to look at the character of God in whatever you're studying and seeing who He is, because that's who we're ultimately aligning ourselves up with, right? We're not making many Kims and many Shelbys,
right?
As we disciple, we are helping women become like Christ. So that part is really important. So like I said, I encourage you to buy two.
And the Christmas is coming.
Yeah, so it's perfect. It's perfect. So thank you so much, Carmen, again and again and again for being a part of this with us. We just love you and appreciate you. And be sure to check out her Etsy shop and also her stickers. They really are the best. Mm-hmm. I'm not even a sticker person, but I think I may become one just so I can have her stickers because they're so good. So thank you so much, Masters University. We are so appreciative of the opportunity to be here in the recording studio and sharing these truths with women. We are so grateful for their sponsorship. And ladies, we thank you, our listeners, for being a part of, allowing us to be a part of your lives. Thank you and have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to the Women's Hope podcast of the Masters University. For more resources and episodes, visit masters.edu/womenshope. For more information on the Masters University, visit masters.edu. We'll see you next time.